if the Seattle management isn't giving you their time of day, what makes you think that Jerry Jones is going to listen to you?
Sometimes they're blowing teams out by 10. Come on now. When they're on, they're on.
Again, I'm going to need you to write LeBron a letter, send it to him, and say, "Bron, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to hop off your bandwagon. Don't do that."
Pot Sports presented by Clover Crest Media Group and CMG Podcast. We're live on StreamYard. I'm your host, JJ Vargas, alongside my brothers, Riley Barron and Sandra Sanchez. How you guys doing?
Chilling.
You already know, baby. We're doing good. How are you?
Good. I'm very excited, guys. We got news right before showtime that kind of shook the landscape of the NFL once again. Sam Darnold is officially going to be a Panthers once the paperwork gets figured out, and you know how that process goes. But we'll be seeing him in Carolina with the Panthers this next upcoming season. And I think we got an answer now for what they're going to do in the draft. Probably going to be looking for a quarterback if I'm the Jets now. So I'll start off with you, Sandra, your reactions to the trades. And good move, bad move, what you think?
Well, start straight up to get the news. I thought it was a little bit early. Like, I was surprised that it happened as soon as it did, because we talked about this on Friday, you know, what should the Jets do? And then sure enough, bam, this weekend a deal gets done. So I was surprised at how, you know, quick it happened. But nonetheless, it's a good trade for both teams. And the reason why I say good, not great, not amazing, is because Darnold's going to the Panthers in the same division with the Saints and Tampa Bay, who has Tom Brady. And, you know, the Jets, are, like I said, they're going to be fighting for third place for sure now. There's no debate about it. But they're in rebuild mode. They have all the draft capital, probably touched on Friday. They have all the draft capital. So now they can restart rebuilding. Maybe 4 or 5 years from now, the Jets will be something, you know, to compete with in the AFC East. But, you know, I don't see anything from them. The Panthers, though, they got their guy. They got a guy that's a franchise quarterback in a better situation, I believe so, in Carolina with a better offense. Yeah, he had Le'Veon Bell out there, but it wasn't the Steelers' Le'Veon Bell. It was a lazy, non-motivated Le'Veon Bell. At least in Carolina, he has CMC coming fresh. You know, he's going to be healthy this season. And CMC, when he's out there, boy, he's one of the top running backs in the league. There's no debate. You already noticed. Yeah. He's gonna also reunite with his boy Robbie Anderson. JJ, you talked about it before. Robbie Anderson is a solid wide receiver. He's not a number one for sure, not a number one, but he's a solid receiver. Someone that has some type of familiarity with Sam Darnold, knows when the ball's gonna get to him. I guess that counts for anything. But you know, Panthers have something to do with here. They have also some draft capital. They're not completely done in the draft. They do have some draft picks where they can, you know, maybe assure the offense a little bit more, give Sam Darnold some more protection or another offense, because the NFL draft this season is really heavy on the offense. There's a lot of good offensive players coming out in this draft. So I believe that it was a good trade for both teams. But Sam Darnold's case, bro, talking about seeing ghosts when you was playing the Patriots in the AFC East, you're gonna play Tampa Bay. It's gonna be ghosts again. You're gonna be watching ghosts again, man. Yeah, I just don't know how this is gonna kind of benefit Sam Darnold, seeing the nemesis in Tom Brady again, another two times a year. But I think it's gonna do, I guess, a little bit good for his progression, you know. Maybe look at great like Tom Brady one time, a few more times, see how he plays, and you know, probably learn a little bit from that. But like I said, this is a good trade. Just a good trade. Nothing great from it. I don't see Carolina competing with Tampa for the top of the division. And I don't see the Jets competing with whoever they draft that quarterback, if they're going to take Zach Wilson or they're going to take Barrett, the kid out of Ohio State. I just, you know, it's a good trade, guys. Maybe you think it's great for the Jets, but I don't see it as great. I just see it as good. It's a C trade.
Just real quick, in terms of the NBA, so Chris has Porzingis, he's out with a sprained wrist. There's no timetable for his return. And then for the Timberwolves, Malik Beasley, he's out 4 to 6 weeks. Basically, he messed up his hamstring. They did the MRI, and it's a grade 3 injury. I'm assuming it's some sort of pull or something like that. So he's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. So I just want to throw that out there. But so Sam Darnold, first and foremost, thank God. I'm just so happy for him, bro. If I'm Sam Darnold, I don't care how my career goes from here on. I could never smell the playoffs again. Doesn't matter. As soon as I touch down Carolina, I'm throwing a party. I'm invite everybody. Yo, Matt Rhule, I know nothing about you, bro. Come on over. Yo, Rob, you know, yo, it was cool. Come on over. Yo, Sam, you still injured? I don't care, bro. You coming over here. We getting turned. Like, if I'm him, I'm hosting a straight-up private party. Wherever I'm moving in, I'm buying out the whole block. Everybody move out. Thank God he's finally away from the Jets. I've been saying this for a while. I believe in him. I think he's a solid quarterback. I just think he got dealt the raw hand. I just think, let's be honest, last 20 years, if you go to the Jets, what are you going to do? Like, come on now. Like, they're just bad. Like, think about it. The last great quarterback they had was who? Probably what? Probably. Old Brett Favre? An old Brett Favre? Like, let's – you know what I mean? Like, this franchise, they're not really good when it comes to quarterbacks. Like, you know what I mean? Especially in recent years. I'm just glad he's gone. He'll be able to – he's going to an organization that has some sort of stability. And, you know, I just – I like him. I think the issue now is going to be Teddy. What are they going to do with him? Supposedly, they're going to try to move him. But if they can't move him, they're going to try to restructure his contract. Because, look, man, the amount of money this dude is going to get, if I'm Teddy, I don't care that they traded for him. I'm big chilling. Because this coming year, he's going to make almost $18 million. And the year after that, he's making $21 million. I don't know about you. Unless you are the Chicago Bears, you're not spending that kind of money for a backup. There's just no way. I believe we're going to see – I'm not going to say that Sam Darnold is going to be all of a sudden this MVP guy who's going to tear it up. And he's gonna, but you will see a different Sam Darnold. You're going to see someone, you know, more composed, more calm. I think we'll see someone different. Again, I'm not going to say he's going to be an MVP, but he's going to be the quarterback I think he could. Like, I put him and Danny Dimes in the same place. Like, if some stuff falls in their favor, they're solid, you know? Like I said, I've watched some Jets games as hard as it's been, and I've seen plays this kid does, and I kid you not, those plays only two other quarterbacks can make, and that's Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes. When you can make plays like that, now, again, he is kind of up and down because the next play, he'll do something, and I'll look at him and be like, hey, yo. You good, my guy? Like, you know, so, but he does have potential. He does have a decent ceiling. I'm not going to say he's shattering the mold. He's going to be a decent guy. I like the pickup for Carolina. Right now, I'll take Sam Darnold over Teddy. And even if you don't and you don't want it and you want to take Teddy, think about it. If you in terms of contracts, if let's say you're going down probably what on like the like top 30 quarterbacks, you're going down what at worst two spots? And if you look at the money that they're going to owe Teddy, you know what I mean? I have no problem hanging it up. What I see what Carolina's doing, they're biding their time. They're not really caring. They're not caring for now. They're because Drew Brees is gone. Matt Ryan is pretty much on his way out pretty soon. And Tom is going to, you know, eventually Tom is going to start falling off. What it seems to me is they're getting younger. They're going to, and at the instant, that window just opens a little bit. Carolina is going to try to make a run. Now, if it'll work or not, we don't know. Only time will tell, JJ. But as of right now, I like where Carolina is positioning themselves.
Yeah, you know, they arguably are the youngest team in their division, considering, you know, they had the old guys leading the helm with Brady and Breeze last year. But, you know, my reaction to the big news was I was a little shocked because this year they only got a 6th-round pick for him. And I figured you could get more value from a starting quarterback from that. And I know they get – a 2nd and a 4th in next year's draft. And I just figured, I was like, damn, is that the asking price for a Sam Darnold? Like, I think Sam Darnold's a lot better than a 6th-round pick, a 2nd-round pick for next year. It's kind of like you're betting against yourself in a way, you know. But I was just very surprised at the numbers that came out, you know, because I was like, I just thought he was a higher caliber player for Carolina. I'm happy for them. You know, they haven't really had a guy since Cam. And, you know, I understand the point you made, Pride, about Teddy being this over-expensive backup. But Teddy has shown that he could be a very serviceable backup. You know, we talked about about the guy Drew Brees. He backed him up, went 5-0 with the Saints. And granted, scheme, Sean Payton, you don't have those toys in Carolina. Not sure that they make a big difference. But, you know, he has showed that throughout his career, he could be a good quarterback even back in his days in Minnesota. So I don't think that keeping Teddy in the back pocket is the worst idea. You know, Sam Darnold just had a season where he was dealing with some injuries. I believe he got COVID, so or was in close contact, I want to say. So, you know, you never know how that lingers with your body going into the new season. The Jets, you guys better damn pray you guys get it right with that second overall pick because, yeah, like I said in the last Friday show, I don't see any of the options coming out the draft that's better than Sam Darnold. So I'm no GM, so they must be seeing something that I don't see, Sander, because, like I said, I think their best option was to stay with Darnold because what's in the draft available to them at two just don't do it for me personally.
Yeah, exactly. Especially if they plan on going with Zach Wilson out of BYU or RJ. I think RJ Barrett is his name, right? RJ Barrett. No, who's the RJ Barrett? Who's the kid coming out of Ohio? It's Justin Fields. There you go. Justin Fields. There you go. Justin Fields and Zach Wilson. It's just, are they gonna change the needle? Are they gonna, you know, push the needle? Are they gonna put the Jets over the top? I say they're good building pieces. But they had a good building piece. They had a good building piece in Sam Darnold. It's just they couldn't bring anything to surround him. And, you know, they wasted his rookie contract. So they're just pressing the restart button. Guys, we see this with the NFL all the time. How many quarterbacks did the Browns go through all those years before they hit on Baker Mayfield? It's just a revolving door in the NFL. You draft quarterback, especially nowadays. You draft quarterback until you hit. And the Jets haven't hit in a while.
Yeah, and I feel the same way, Pride. It's like, how many times can you get the whole quarterback wrong, man?
Well, I mean, depends. I mean, who you got picking the quarterbacks. Like, you know, that's what could have come. Me, personally, I've been saying this since day one. And, like, when it comes to the Jets, everyone got to go. Throw the whole franchise in the recyclable bin. Let it go through the plant. Maybe it'll end up being a useful water bottle. And let's just rebuild, start from scratch. Because it's crazy. And it's crazy. Like, I thought Cleveland would never have any type of success. If I ain't know better, the Cleveland Browns picked up and moved to New York. If I ain't know better. If I ain't know better, Cleveland Browns, just the owner was like, you know what? We out. Let's go to the Big Apple. If I ain't know better. It's just crazy, man. I'm, like I said, I love Sam Darnold. I'm glad he's out. Matter of fact, man, I hope Sam Darnold wins the MVP. I don't even care. At the expense of my Patriots not winning another Super Bowl for 10 years, I'm good. Just give my man an MVP, and I'm chilling. But like you said, right now the Jets are in a very, very iffy spot. It seems like they don't even know what they're doing. It literally seems like they're kind of just like, we're going with whatever. Like, we're rolling with the momentum. Whatever happens, happens. Like I said, bro, it's a solid pickup for Carolina. And, you know, I'm right now, Carolina, their futures, I'm not going to say it's bright, but it's, you know, the clouds are starting to move a little bit. You know what I mean? Because after Cam, you know, a lot of fans were kind of bugging a little bit. But, you know, I'm not going to say it's, you know, sunny days and you guys are going to be perfect. You know, the storm's over. It's still a little cloudy. You feel me? It's not a beach day, but you could go. You could take a walk in the park. It's definitely a solid day for that.
Yeah, unfortunately, over Carolina, you got clouds in Tampa Bay that is going to keep it a little darker on there, as long as Tom Brady's there keeping that division on lock. But nonetheless, congratulations, Carolina. Looks like you got yourself a quarterback. But I want to transition to the MLB because we had opening weekend and it was so nice to have some meaningful baseball on the screen. And a guy from Los Angeles stole the show, and it wasn't Mike Trout. It was actually the two-way player, Shohei Ohtani, you know, was throwing heat, was hitting home runs, and was doing it all, Pride, you know. And it kind of has me question, like, is this guy legit, or he's just all hype? What do you think?
Without a shadow of a doubt, this kid's legit. 110%. No way. If you're saying this kid is hype, I don't know, man. It's weird, you know what I mean? The only question I have for him is how is he going to bounce back this season after having Tommy John? That's the only concern. It's not even really a concern because the kid can pitch, but the crazy part is the kid can hit. And it's funny I'm calling him kid because it feels like he's been around forever. Dude's 26. Like, let's put this. Yeah. Everyone is like, oh, my God. Oh, this kid, it's been a disappointment. Bro. He's still serving out the first contract he signed with the Angels. This isn't a dude that, like, this isn't like a journeyman who went from Boston, who then went to Seattle, who then decided to go to Texas and then settled for Los Angeles. No, this isn't a guy like that. This is still his first contract. Dude can hit. Name me the last pitcher
who can hit 267. I'll wait. I'll wait.
That don't happen.
That's the thing. The kid can kill you on the mound, and he can kill you at the plate. Like, bro, in one game, this dude threw, I think it was a little over 100 miles per hour. Then in the same game, got bored and hit a homer that was over 100 miles per hour. Name me one player who could do that. I'll wait. I'm still waiting. Time's up. Nobody. You can't. Like, this kid is just phenomenal. And this, we're talking about day and age where people thought Madison Bumgarner was like a good hitter. Like, in terms of when you were talking about like pitchers, they thought Madison Bumgarner was, oh my God, this dude is good. And he's out here getting a hit like maybe once every, what, 10 outings? And now you have a kid in Ohtani who, and I'm going to tell you this right now, man, I'm a Red Sox fan. We're going through some tough times. tough times indeed. Tough times indeed. And listen, man, if the Angels giving up on him, oh, I'll gladly take him. He ain't even got a pitch, bro. You could just be our DH. I'm good. Well, I throw J.D. Martinez back in the outfield. I don't care. I'm good. Put Duke back on the bench. Cause it's cancers. But anyway, Ohtani, this kid is legit, man. This kid is legit. He can pitch. He's got, like, it. The only issue with me, like I said, is the Tommy John. Can he come back from that? Now, the thing with Tommy John, it's a hit or miss injury. We've seen pitchers come back and look the same. We've seen pitchers come back and look better. And then we've seen pitchers who come out, they don't look the same. And then they either have to come out of the bullpen or they just have to call it a career, because that's the iffy part about a Tommy John injury. So, I mean, the kid's young. Like I said, he's only 26. He's really not that old. Like, if you want to make an argument, he's probably entering his prime now. I think he's young enough to end up overcoming this injury. Yeah, like, I don't know. I just don't think the Tommy John is going to mess with him this much. And let's say worst case scenario. Let's say worst case scenario, he's never the same. That Tommy John ain't going to take away that bat. I'll tell you that right now. That Tommy John not going to take away that bat. Because I've never seen and this is the first time I've ever seen a pitcher who has eyes on the mound where he can throw strikes and eyes at the plate. That's the rare part about this kid. Because a lot of pitch, like, for instance, you Darvish a couple days ago, when he was batting, the dude just stood there. If I'm not mistaken, he didn't swing his bat once. He stood there, and they're throwing strikes, and he's to the point. He's just like, bro, he didn't care. He's like, I'm just here to get on the mic. Like, that's it. Like if you strike me out, it is what it is. I'm good. But Ohtani's different, bro. And what I like about him when he at the plate, he ain't a punk at the plate. He's aggressive. He's not a dude that tries to work out. He's trying to hit that ball right back to the pitcher. He wants to – and when he steps up to that plate, he's like, yo, I'm going to beat you on the mound, and I'm going to beat you on the plate. So I definitely do like Ohtani. And like I said, bro, this kid is not hype, bro. He's 110% legit.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right, Pride. I ain't going to get nothing away from you. He is 100% legit. But is he enough? Is he enough? Absolutely not. You know, the Angels, they fall victim to, you know, just having great players and great numbers and all that. But when it comes to putting a team together, they've just never been known for that for as long as I can remember. You know, since 2015, that was their last winning record at 2015. And they came in third place, guys. Third. That was the last time they had a winning record and they came in third place. Think about that. Ohtani came into the league in 18. You know, he came into the league young. He was 23 and he's only 26 now. He's great. You're right, Pride, 100%. But I don't believe that a guy like Ohtani can sustain that and do that on an every night basis. You know, obviously not pitching, because you can only pitch once every 4 or 5 days. I get that. But, you know, going up to bat every day, and then you got to pitch every fifth day. It's like, don't think that that's sustainable to continue, especially coming off Tommy John surgery. Medicine right now, we're at a great age, of course, where we've seen players come from Tommy John surgery. But we haven't seen a player like him come back from Tommy John surgery. So he's been showing, you know, a lot of the great steps now. You know, it's still mad early in the season, obviously. He's showing a lot of steps. He's, you know, he's healthy. But can he stay healthy? Because he does everything. He doesn't just do one thing. He doesn't have the luxury of pitchers where they just sit down, they just rest. You know, they obviously train, but they don't have to go to batting practice every single day like Shai Ohtani does. So I just think that the wear and tear that Ohtani will take It's going to take a bigger toll on him because he does everything. He does. He fields. He play. He bats. He pitches. He does it all. So I just don't think that his body is going to sustain that for a long career, you know. And is enough for the Angels to be, you know, to possibly for the Angels to possibly win a championship? No. You know, Mike Trout, we've seen this all before. I talked about it before. He gives me the same, he gives me Russell Westbrook vibes. He's great in the regular season, no doubt. He gives you the offense. He gives you the defense. He shows up. But what happens with Trout? Sometimes he's hurt and he misses the rest of the season, or he plays the whole season, does great, but his team sucks. Until the Angels can build a team around, you know, Ohtani and because those two cornerstones are great. Those are great players to have as your cornerstones to build around. And I believe they picked up a big free agent last season that was supposed to help them this season. When it comes to the Angels, guys, I don't trust them. Dude, 74-88, 80-82, 80-82, 71-90, 26-34 last season. It's like, dude, I'm sorry, but you can have all the great numbers you want in baseball. But if it's not translating to wins, I can care less for it.
I get it. You know, you guys both make great, good points, especially when it comes to the stage of the Angels themselves, the team that hosts the player. I look at Ohtani, and I got a word for him. And I don't think you guys are going to like it, but I see it as potential fool's gold. Because Pride, you're absolutely right. This guy threw 101 fastball, and then all of a sudden he hits a home run out the park, and I'm like, this guy's a freaking creative player, right? And then I get to the same sentence where I like what Sanders said about, like, is this sustainable? Can he do this for 162 games? And I'm not sure. So I'm still in the stage where I'm like, I'm not sure I know what he is, because he did get hurt. He got the Tommy John. So I guess I'm waiting for this next step of Ohtani, because I feel like we're going to know what kind of player he is moving forward from this injury. And you could be right, Pride. He could be this, you know, future all-star that's going to make a lot of noise in this league. And, you know, maybe he will be the right partner for Mike Trout, Sander. And maybe with them two together on their primes, it'll lead up to a good team for the Angels, which I always found it hard for the Angels to not have a good team. You're in freaking Los Angeles. The Dodgers could get people. The Clippers could get people. The Lakers could get people. Why can't the Angels get people? What the hell? Like, I even like their hat. Their hat is fresh. Like, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the people upstairs not selling the product right. But damn, like, I don't get it. Like, these people need to do something with their marketing team. It's a beautiful stadium on top of that. I believe they have the water thing with the rocks in the back. It's beautiful. I always love training them. You know, like, and you have a star like Trout, and now you got a guy overseas who is also a star. So I don't get it why the Angels can't have more success. But like I said, at the moment, I'm just looking at Ohtani as potential fool's gold, Pride.
So I just need – you're going to apologize to this man. You're going to apologize to this man. To call him fool's gold.
Potential pitcher, fool's gold.
I don't care. No. You know what
you're crazy.
The word potential, you know what that means? You know what that means? Possibly. You're giving yourself an out. No, you're trying to give yourself an out. Because that's like me trying to say, right? That's like me saying that. That's like me saying, yo, the Red Sox could potentially make the playoffs. Then when we don't, I can be like, hey, yo, I said potentially. I didn't say – no, you're trying to disrespect me.
Listen, and I'm trying to cover right my back too.
Well, you know what you got to cover? You know what you got to cover? You got to cover your behind. Because people are going to come for you for that, bro. Don't do that. Do not call this poor man this – again – 267 and he a pitcher and you want to call him fool's gold. You gotta come say my man. You know what?
Well,
I'm gonna say this right now. I'll take Ohtani swing that bat over Giancarlo Stanton.
That's fair.
110%. So then, okay, so then Giancarlo Stanton is fool's gold then. You can't call the kid.
He can sure as hell be it sometimes when he's cold. He's as cold as ice. But what I'm telling you, Pride, and this is the thing, I've never seen it, so I feel like it's like hard for me to like embrace it because I'm so afraid that it's too good to be true. You're telling me embrace it. Is what you're telling me. Embrace it.
I'm not telling you embrace it. If you want to have a wait and see attitude, that's okay. That's no problem. Don't call the man
You can't say he's fool's gold, because what fool's gold is Trae Young. His numbers look spectacular until you sit down and realize it's only him. Like, it's only him doing everything. He brings the ball up and he stays constantly shooting. That's fool's gold. The dude is out here hitting 267 as a pitcher, baby. Come on, son.
Yeah.
And bro, his rookie year, he had an ERA of like 3.6 or something like that. Come on, son. You need to apologize to him. You gotta apologize to him.
Yeah, but I'm going to need him to play more than 106 games, though, because just 106 games in a 162-game season, you know, that's 62 games that I'm not getting service out of him, you know? I need him to be on the field more. I need to be able to see it more. He's not fool's gold, for sure. He's legit. You crazy, JJ. But I think I just need to see more of it. And now, like, to JJ's point, this is where we're going to see the real Ohtani coming off this injury, because – this is going to be him for the rest of his career. After this injury, this is what we're going to see, the progression where he's gotten so far and where he can take his game to the next level. I know he's petite, he can do it. I believe he has the potential doing it, but it's just, you know, coming off of Tommy John surgery and a player that does everything. Like, it's not just the pitcher. It's not just the hitter. He's both. So I feel like the wear and tear. It's like when you drive a car, you either drive it during the day or drive it during the night. This guy drives all damn day.
Yeah. Word of the way, potential, cover my ass. Anyways, let's transition into the big game tonight, guys, because I'm so excited. Championship game is set for the NCAA champion. Is it going to be Gonzaga? Is it going to be Baylor? Both these teams deserve to be where they're at. They were the number one seeds, and they showed it. I believe we all thought this was possibly what it was going to be. I'm happy that we get the one-on-one matchup that we wanted. So, Sander, how do you see the game going tonight?
Well, first of all, it's going to be a great game to start off for sure, because you got undefeated Gonzaga going for that history, going for history, baby, for real. I know they haven't talked about it like we're going for it. They look at it as game, you know, game by game. Well, guess what, guys? This is the game. This is the one that counts the most. So, I believe that's going to be a banger, guys, be a thriller. I don't see a blowout at all. Both of these teams, they're kind of evenly matched. I kind of give the scoring edge to Baylor and the defensive edge to Gonzaga. But check this out, guys. I don't see how Gonzaga is going to be able to deal with the three-headed scoring monster of Baylor. And also, they had this kid come off the bench, an other guard, who has been leading their team and scoring this whole bracket. And it hasn't even been the two starting guards, which is crazy. So, with that being said, I believe Butler and Davion Mitchell is going to be too much scoring for Gonzaga. And I think they probably pull it off with an 80-76 victory the Baylor way. Baylor's going into this game with a lot, with a chip on their shoulder. If you guys haven't been noticed, Baylor recently, they've been in the news more for not their sports. They've been in the news for a lot of other, that, you know, a lot of nonsense been going on in that school. So they've been under a lot of scrutiny. They've been labeled sometimes as a school that's just been out of control, you know. So I think going into this game, they have a lot of doubters to shut this game. They're going to go in there, obviously, as the underdog. I think Gonzaga's favored by 4, so they're going in underdogs, and I'm going underdog in this one. I love the history. I always love history being made, but this is history being made too. It's Baylor defeating Goliath, and you know, I'm rooting for the little guy here. I got Baylor. It's so crazy, a little guy in their number one seed, but I got the underdog in Baylor pulling upset on Gonzaga. It is 76.
Just real quick, so KD's close to making his return this week. I guess they've been making him go through some walkthroughs and stuff like that, and it does seem like he's been responding well. They're saying his injury is, like, fine, but they're still being a little cautious. They're aiming to try to bring him in this week. They play 3 games this week, if I'm not mistaken, and the last game is going to be against the Lakers, so I wouldn't be surprised if they try to sneak him in there, but I just want to throw that out there. So in terms of this of the bracket, Gonzaga and Baylor, I thought Baylor was the best, and I'm saying this word loosely, the best team to beat Gonzaga.
Now, I'm saying that in the term that a midget, that I'm taller than a midget. That's the that when I say best, it's really not that, it's not that close. You know what I mean? Like, and it's going to come down to one dude. I'm not even going to waste nobody's time with stats. I ain't going to waste nobody's time with stats. It comes down on one dude. My man, Timmy. I'm going to start calling him Timmy Turner. Because I like his name. Timmy, it rolls off the tongue. Look, man, this dude, Google the word walking bucket. Remember how I said Buddy was a walking bucket? Now, if you scroll down just a little bit, the second picture, you're gonna see my man Timmy just chilling there, bro. This dude is phenomenal. And I'm going to tell you this right now. If they get him working, eventually they're going to have to throw double teams. Now that's going to open everything. Now, during the season, they had four dudes averaging double digits. Imagine. You got four dudes, and Timmy, who was almost averaging 20, was doing this on 65% shooting. So it's not like he's just like getting like weak. This dude is getting efficient buckets. So if he comes in, he imposes his will, which if I'm the coach, that's the first thing I'm doing. I'm making him impose his will, because then that's going to open up for everybody. It's going to open for, obviously, Suggs, who a lot of people are saying he needs to be crucial in this game, which definitely. Yeah. He's definitely 100, especially he's going to be riding high after that buzzer beater. He's going to be riding high. You know what I mean? I wouldn't be surprised if they double Timmy. Suggs is going to be the first dude he better be looking at to get him that ball. You know, he's definitely going to be on his thing. And Kispert, that's another dude who can give you some points too. So me personally, I don't know, it's just Gonzaga has too much. Like I said from the jump, bro. This was Gonzaga's tournament to lose. That's it. Does Baylor have a shot? Sure. But they have what, if you know, just excuse me for speaking about boxing, but he has what they call a puncher's chance. That's what Baylor has. They have a puncher's chance. They do have that chance. But the only reason they have the chance is because they're going to play the game. That's really it. Now, if you want to break it down, there's no – like, you got four dudes who can go out there and get you 15. Yeah. And Baylor, there's probably, what, maybe three dudes who can get you that? On Gonzaga, they got four for no reason whatsoever. There's no reason for you to have four dudes who can get you 15. Just because, bro. It's nuts to me, man. So Gonzaga, and like I said last show, their transition is vicious. I've never seen dudes run up and down the court and look like they're not even tired. That's insane to me. That's insane to me. And I'm not going to say that it's going to make Baylor get tired. I'm not going to go that route. But seeing people run constant fast breaks on you, it's going to get to you eventually. To the point where you're going to have to switch your defense up a little bit. Mess around. I dare you to play Gonzaga in the zone. I dare you. You know what I mean? Like, Gonzaga, bro, they literally – they could score from wherever, bro. And the whole team, top to bottom, very balanced team. I definitely – like, I'm going Gonzaga, but it's a moment – mostly because I said it from the jump, bro. This was Gonzaga's tournament to lose, JJ.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, you guys mentioned the shot. That was amazing. I give more credit to you mentioned, the fast break, the play before when Suggs got the block and threw a beautiful, almost across the whole court, bounce pass for the open dunk. Well, it was a contested dunk, but you know what I'm saying. Like, they basically tied up the game and made it a competitive game at that point. But you're right, Pride. It's really the Zags tournament to lose, because they've been the number one overall the whole time. And they really just show that they're better than everybody. And I would have given Baylor a really good chance to win this game if the Zags didn't just have that game against UCLA that took them down to the wire. Like, I feel like if the Zags would have won this game by 15, by 20, like they were supposed to, against the number 11 UCLA, and just went in there confident, you know, chest puffed out against Baylor, I feel like Baylor would have smacked them in the mouth in this championship game tonight. That's not the case. They actually had a sweat in this last game, and I feel like that built the character for this team. That's saying, like, yo, we can win a tight game, because they're going to – you guys said it. Baylor got three guys that can put up 15, and they're going to have to be on their best behavior, because they have to play their best game if they're going to win the championship and remain undefeated and make history. And that's the only way that I see it happening, Sander.
Yeah, 100%. But, you know, like I said – Baylor's coming with dogs, man. Baylor's coming with dogs. Yes, Gonzaga's undefeated. Gonzaga's hungry. But there's something different when you're playing with a chip on your shoulder. And I think the chip on Baylor is just a little bit bigger than the chip on Gonzaga, because they've been riding high this whole tournament. And not for nothing, JJ, Yeah, the game was tight, but guess what? It was tight with an 11 seed. And yes, UCLA was great, but UCLA lost four games coming into the tournament, and they just been on this miracle run. So it took you overtime to beat a number 11 UCLA when you were the number one undefeated team. You know what I'm saying? So I understand that you may think that they're going to come into this game. I think they're going to come into the game drained, because I think they used a little bit extra energy to finish that game, and they didn't need to. They should have blown them out.
I don't think 19-year-old legs get drained, Sander.
I mean, JJ, you made a good point about how, you know, they were close. And I feel like I agree with your point, but I'm looking at it a different way. Like you're saying, like, I feel like they knew they could have won a game. What I feel like them winning that close game against UCLA, right? What that did for them was, if they're in their mind, they're like, yo, an 11 seed just took us to overtime. If we pull at this against Baylor, we're not getting slapped, bro. We're getting expelled. Like, yeah. we're not lottery show up.
They might take scholarships, bro.
Yes, you know what I mean? So I agree with your point. But I'm looking at it a little different, because in their minds, it, like you said, if they had smacked UCLA by 15, right? Let's say they smacked by 15, and they come in, Baylor 110% has the advantage. Because, I mean, I get it. It is the final game, and that's usually when dudes play hard. But, I mean, Gonzaga has, like, this tournament just looks like, to them, it's been a cakewalk, dare I say. Like, yeah, bro, it's almost as if it was close to, like, I honestly have not seen them. I haven't really seen them panic, but I didn't see them kind of worried at all until UCLA. That was the only game, unless I'm forgetting one, but that was the only game where you can actually kind of see them like, oh, darn, I think we low key messed up. Like, we, you know what I mean? So, like I said, bro, Baylor's definitely the best team to take them down, but I mean, you know. I guess you can, you know, win the lottery once in your lifetime, you know. So, like I said, bro, I'll give Baylor a puncher shot. No problem. I'll give him a puncher chance. But like I said, bro, I don't know, man. When you got four dudes who can get you double digits, no problem. It's going to be very difficult to overcome that, JJ.
Yeah. You know, and I think I speak for all of us. I'm very excited to watch the game tonight and see who's going to be the new champion. And I just know this, Duke and Kansas – are watching. So Gonzaga, roar loud, boys, roar loud. But it's Monday, and I love this segment. We're gonna do our Blazing predictions updates. You know, anybody that watches the show know that on Fridays we try to make some predictions that will happen over the weekend. Sometimes they come out well, sometimes we burn the hell out of our dish. But I started with you, Pride, your prediction.
Yeah, so I had to bring out the black shirt, bro, because I burnt my dish so bad, bro. It's nuts, bro. So I thought, I was under the impression, for me, I think I drink, as the children say, a little too much of the bubbly, because I thought my man Carl Frampton was gonna slap the mess out of Herring. That's what I thought, right? Then I saw the fight, right? So while I was watching the fight, like the first two rounds, I felt good. I felt encouraged. Frampton had opened up Herring, so I was like, oh, yeah, baby, we live in here. Then he got knocked down. And I was like, oh, no, I done goofed. then round six came. And when round six came, it was just crazy. Herring came out with energy. He definitely looked incredible. He looked great. He knew his last outing was abysmal. He even admitted it. And he came in here. He literally just built up his momentum. It literally got to the point where, like, I think it was round five. Every shot he threw looked like it either hit Frampton, or though he threw it so hard, the wind hit Frampton and that made him stumble. This dude, Harry, had Frampton on literally life alert from at least round four. At the very least, round four.
Yeah.
Bro, it was abysmal. Frampton was like, yo, if I take this out, I'm going to retire. I think he said it half-heartedly because he didn't think he was going to lose. And I think when he got knocked out, and because they stopped the TKO in the round six, he kind of was like, yeah, bro, this ain't for me no more. So he kind of went out, and, you know, I'm glad he went out, you know, go. I would say go out as a champion, but, you know, he lost. So it is what it is, you know what I mean? Hopefully he's not really retired. He just goes out for a couple years and comes back, because I still want to see him be the first Irishman to win a title in three different weight divisions. hoping, but you know, I burnt it real bad. Had to call the fire department. I was embarrassed.
Well, I'm glad I wore black to the funeral too, then, unexpectedly. Sander, your prediction.
Well, if y'all wearing colors based off y'all prediction, I guess I'm blue as hell, because my Knicks, they blue. They blew my prediction out the water, man. Look, I had the Knicks, you know, holding it down in the fort. You know, they had the Mavs coming to New York, favored by, what, six points. And New York had the best defense in the league at the time. And I think they still do. But Luka was just too much, man. Luka scored 26. They ended up the game 99-86. They held them under 100. But I still, you know, burnt my dish. So it's whatever, man. You can't win them all.
Yeah, and I had Luka going on for 30, but I'll take the 26 in the dub. I like it. Okay. Well, I came out here on Friday, spent a big game trying to be Connecticut faithful and try to be this guy. And, oh, man, my girls let me down, man. These UConn girls. This girl from Arizona McDonald, I swear, I thought she was LeBron out there. She cannot be stopped. She was bullying these girls. And, hey, I love me some Paige Buchers, but, man, she was just too small when it came to these Arizona girls, you know. Her size really showed she couldn't get over the high advantage that Arizona presented her. And there was a ghost foul late in that game, too, which took out their starting center, who was just eating them alive because she really has had the size advantage. And once they lost her after her 20 points, you know, UConn just couldn't do enough to keep up with Arizona's girls. So, unfortunately, guys, I burned my dish, too, and I think we all deserve – a blazing hot L with some crying faces because we it up this week. Nonetheless, guys, awesome show. You know, I'm very excited to do this on a Monday always. Make sure you guys follow Stir the Pot Sports on our Facebook and Instagram pages at Stir the Pot Sports. I'm your host, JJ Vargas, alongside my brother, Riley Barrett and Sandra Sanchez. Catch you on Wednesday.
Allison Gamber. I'm the executive director for the Cove Center for Grieving Children. Our office is located in Meriden and we provide services throughout Connecticut. We are so excited to be having a virtual event coming up, the Hope and Healing Virtual Auction and Celebration. The auction will be held April 22nd through the 24th and the celebration will be held on the evening of April 24th to talk all about the Cove services and what we've accomplished over the last 26 years. If you'd like to join us for the celebration, registration is free, and you can find all that information on www.covect.org. And the link for the virtual auction will be put up there on the evening of April 21st to start live auctioning on April 22nd. So come and join us to celebrate the Cove and raise some funds so we can continue to offer our programs free of charge.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is our main event.